Managing the Energy of the Workplace. It's episode 4018 of Grow Great, the podcast. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Grow Great, the podcast. It's also the website, growgreat.com. Coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Brought to you, as always, by my company, Bula, B-U-L-A, Network, LLC. Bula Network is a boutique CEO executive coaching and consultancy. Yeah, serving CEOs, business owners, and executives. You can find out more by going to the website, growgreat.com. Today, it's about managing the energy of the workplace. If this is your first foray into BulaNetwork.com or the Grow Great podcast, I think it's important that you understand and know my worldview and my philosophy of leadership. Pointedly, in a blunt statement, people matter. I don't mean in some lip service kind of a way. I mean that people really, genuinely do matter. They make all the difference for good or bad. Let me bullet point it for you because I think that'll make it easier and faster. And you can find all of this by going to the website at growgreat.com. Just plug in the search bar over there on the right side of the website. Just plug in the number 4018. It'll take you right there. Episode 4018. That's the only reason for episode numbers, by the way, just to make it easy for you to find the associated show notes. So I'm going to bullet point it for you so you can more quickly kind of grasp where I'm coming from. People mostly want to get up in the morning energized to do good work. If given the opportunity, most people would prefer to make a positive difference. People crave a positive sense of accomplishment. We manage the work, we lead people. People deserve great leadership. Great leadership serves the people by always doing the right thing. Always be honest, be competent, give more, and make it right. And there they are. I mean, what is that? 7 bullet points? Those are the basics of who and what I am. Well, they are also the basis of who and what I am. And everything I do reflects these important things. And so there's my bias, if you want to call it that. It's my perspective. And it may help you better understand today's show and all the content that you will find at growgreat.com, which, by the way, was once branded higherhumanperformance.com. I still like that, and you can still enter that URL, and it'll take you to exactly the same place. higherhumanperformance.com, growgreat.com, BulaNetwork.com, they all go to the same place. I changed it because, well, Grow Great is easier to remember. And Growing Great is still very much focused on helping people in the quest for higher human performance. Some months ago, I began to really focus on my own energy. Now, at first, I didn't use that word, energy. And I don't mean the energy that you've got, you know, you get out of bed and you feel like you've got physical energy. I mean it more in a work sense. I mean it more in an emotional sense. Now, I wasn't sure how to quantify what I was feeling, but one day that word arrived by way of a book that my daughter loaned me, The Energy Bus. There's a photograph of it over at the website, growgreat.com. Just again, plug in the number 4018. It's a book by John Gordon with a foreword by Ken Blanchard, and it's called The Energy Bus. It is subtitled 10 Rules to Fuel Your Life, Work, and Team with Positive Energy. I still haven't read it, but when she handed it to me and I looked at the title, I instantly had the word to attach to what I had been feeling and thinking for some weeks. Energy. Our work hinges on how well we manage our energy. By work, I mean our performance. I don't mean just movement or action. I mean getting things done that move our enterprises forward. And so let's back up. Let's back up to that first bullet point. People mostly want to get up in the morning energized to do good work. That's important because this is where so many companies get it wrong. If people, that includes you, that includes me, that includes us, if people want to get up in the morning energized to do good work, then they have to fully understand how their work fits. People have to know and understand that their work matters. They have to see their work in the context of a bigger picture. In short, we have to see the value of our work. Motivation is the energy that we each bring with us to do the work. Inspiration is what leaders, or maybe some other people, can supply to encourage us. Now, here's the thing about motivation and inspiration. Both of these can flag and waver if we're not careful. And of the two, motivation is the longer-term value. You know this. You already know this. You know this every time that you attend a seminar or a conference, and you find it really valuable. I mean, man, you get jacked up and you get excited. You're sitting in that hotel ballroom. You're listening to this keynote speaker. And man, it's great and it's wonderful. And boy, you're feeling it. And then Tuesday morning happens. And all that inspiration, poof, it's just gone. It's vanished. And man, it was just 2 days ago that you felt like you could conquer the world. Okay, such is the nature of inspiration, even if it's world class. Motivation, on the other hand, is driven by a lot of things. And among the things that drive motivation it's the thing that compels you to do what you do. And it's the thing compelling you to do what you're already doing. You know, you're supporting your family. There's one. You've got other things that matter to you, things that drive you to work hard, things that drive you to work well. Mostly, these don't vanish. Now, poor health or some other calamity in our life, a divorce, these can create a hiccup and they can make our motivation, our energy, waver, but hopefully we battle back. We all face challenges. Everybody faces challenges, and how well we navigate those challenges is going to determine how successful we are and how valued we are at work. It's all about energy management. I use the pronoun we. Our work hinges on how well we manage our energy because too many people want to surrender ownership. I mean, some people are even deluded to think that other people do indeed possess control of their energy. Nobody holds the key to your energy except you. You're driving your own energy bus, and if you refuse to drive the bus, well, then that's on you. Okay, having said that, now let me throw a contradiction at you. Leaders impact energy. You're responsible for your energy, but leaders impact energy. For starters, leaders have the task of incorporating people into the enterprise. Now, that means onboarding new people. Onboarding is that official HR term. I don't really like it so much, but it helps you know what I mean. I don't like it because it's just too impersonal, and maybe it sounds too close to waterboarding. But simply put, onboarding is the task of making people feel at home in a new company or a new role. It is supplying people with the information and the resources that they need in order to soar. Leadership has to make sure that people clearly see and understand how their work impacts the overall success of the enterprise. It's equally important that people understand what success looks like. I mean, how is their performance going to be judged? How are they going to know if they're succeeding or not? That's the job of leadership, to make sure that all those answers are promptly provided before, yeah, you heard it, before the person begins the actual work. I know. A lot of us fail right here. Well, today is the day to stop failing at this critical beginning. If you have people on your roster right now who were never properly integrated into their role, then I want you to go back and I want you to get that done starting today. Sit down with these people, apologize for failing them, but you can't neglect, you can't keep neglecting doing this work. Now, we can assume that, well, time will fix it. You know, they've acclimated themselves because they've been here a while. Now, that's a big mistake. Big, big mistake. The only thing that time will bring you is entropy and slippage. And you know that's true. Time does not make it better. Things are naturally going to grow worse, not better. And it's your job as the leader to intervene and stop entropy. Shoot, that's why you exist. That's why you're there. That's why you've got the job. You do that by being proactive, and I'll talk about that a little bit later, and making sure that people have everything they need so they can achieve success. If leaders don't do that, I don't know why leaders are even needed. Do you? I mean, serving the people is the reason for leaders to even exist. And if not, why not? I mean, it's not about being large and in charge. It's about being in a position to do things necessary to get the crap out of the way so people can do their very best work. Authority of leadership enables those with that authority to get the roadblocks and the speed bumps out of the way. So get busy. Get busy removing the first speed bump, roadblock. That lack of understanding about why the person is even in the company and why their work, why their performance even matters. You got to make sure that every person in your organization, from the highest on the food chain to the lowest, that they see how their work impacts the whole. And don't end your meeting with that employee until it is clear and until you are fully convinced they see how they matter and how they fit. And remember to make sure that they also know how to tell if they're succeeding or not. Sometimes people are succeeding, but they feel like they're failing. That's leadership's responsibility. That's leadership's fault. It's a morale killer. I mean, few things will disrupt your workforce more than people who don't see the importance of their role, they don't see the importance of their contribution, and people who just never seem to know if they're doing well or if they're doing poorly. You, the leader, you've got to give them clear vision on all those things. Let's talk about candor. It's one of my all-time favorite leadership words. Some people mistake it for embracing conflict. That's narrow-minded. Candor is honesty. It's not unkind. It's not brutal. It's not conflict-oriented. Mostly, it's prompt, candid conversation that is designed to help clarify, inform, instruct, correct, and perform other positive communication outcomes. Let me illustrate. True story. A worker with a disgruntled, toxic attitude and communication style, she is already on a PIP, a performance improvement plan. You ever been PIPped? She's been reprimanded, and her poor behavior has been clearly outlined along with recommendations, specific recommendations on the actions that she can take to turn things around. It's been about 20 days or so since she was formally presented with the plan. And today she's leaving the office at quitting time. Earlier in the day, the staff has been informed about a scheduled inventory. It's 3 weeks in advance, plenty of time for people to make adjustments to their calendars. It's going to require team members to work. Depends on where you are and what your role is. Probably an extra 2 to 4 hours after work one evening. These are ordinary. These are regular affairs that everybody in the organization understands are just part of the company's operations. They haven't just pulled this out of a hat, out of thin air. I mean, this has been an ongoing activity, and everybody who works here, they sign up for it. They understand this is just part of the job. Well, our PIP employee, she lobs this verbal grenade on her way out the door by saying, "It's ridiculous to drop that on us today." And as she is exiting the door, her boss hears this. She's still in the doorway. And he firmly but politely says, Gail. No, that's not her name. But let's call her Gail. Gail, can I have a quick moment, please? And so Gail turns around. She joins the boss as together they walk back to his office. You're seeing candor in action. It's prompt. He's not going to let her leave the building without addressing this action. Now, keep in mind, Gail is already on a performance improvement plan. Her job is at risk. Her behaviors, they have impacted other people in her office negatively. In fact, the PIP was designed to help her turn things around because her work, technically speaking, her personal work, it's pretty good. She knows her job. She does her job well. The problem is she's an ongoing distraction to the rest of the team, and her constant complaining just creates this tension that negatively impacts the whole group. And she has been told all of that, and part of the PIP involves ongoing help and support and feedback. Now, sadly for her boss, right now he's discouraged. I mean, for the past 20 days or so, she's done better. He's told her so, and he has been encouraging her to keep it up. And now, you know, now he's feeling like, man alive, no sooner do we make some progress, and now she's gone back to the old habits. And so he has her sit down at the conference table in his office where he joins her. I don't want to keep you long, Gail, but I heard your remark, and I can't ignore it. Gail, do you fully understand, I mean really understand, how your work impacts our organization? Yes, sir, I think so, she says. And I'm sorry for spouting off about the inventory schedule. Gail, I want to make sure I'm serving you well by helping you every way I can. And part of that is making sure you see the big picture and where you fit in it. Well, I think I do, sir. I mean, we talked about that in the past, says Gail. Then help me understand why you felt compelled to make that remark as you exited the building. I don't know, says Gail. I just don't like doing inventory. Now, on and on this goes for about another 5 minutes, and the boss tells her that he's not going to tolerate her poor behavior because it's not profitable for her or anybody else on the team. He encourages her by telling her that she is fully capable of doing high-performing work. And because other people look to her, he reiterates to her that she has a responsibility to lead as well. I mean, he's firm, he's fair, he's kind, he's respectful. Well, her body language and her verbal language show that she is appropriately ashamed, and she apologizes again. And he assures her that he's going to continue to help her, and she assures him that she's going to work harder on curbing her bad habits. Now, he makes certain before they part that she knows her future, it's in her hands. I mean, from start to finish, this whole thing takes about 8 minutes. Did it involve a bit of conflict? Well, sure. Was it prompt? Absolutely. I mean, real-time feedback is the trademark of true candor. Was it appropriate and respectful? Yes, absolutely. There's no other way that it should roll. Did it have the impact? Well, it seemed to, but, you know, time's going to tell. The leader's not fully in charge of the response. Gail is. And now it's up to her to do better work. Leaders often ignore and avoid candor. Or they behave badly themselves. I mean, the boss could have yelled and screamed. He could have belittled Gail right then and there while she's standing in the doorway in front of other employees. He could have ripped her up one side and down the other and felt better about himself. None of those things would have served Gail or the company. They would have all been selfish acts. And they would have all robbed Gail of energy while maybe giving the boss more. But that's poor energy management. That's bad leadership. All right, so what can leaders do to positively impact energy? Let me give you five. And while I'm giving you these, you can easily think of others and you can add to this list and make it your own. Number one, begin at the beginning. When employees join the company or when they assume a new role, spend time onboarding them. You need to scrutinize your onboarding process. You need to make it spectacular. That's right, spectacular. Do not skip this step. Don't get this wrong. It's the foundation of everything else. You've got to make sure that the employee understands how valuable their work is and how important it is to the overall organization. I will give you the object of this. Here's the object of your onboarding. A, make the employee feel and know they're valued. B, make sure they understand they've got all the resources to help to be high performing. C, to ensure that they understand what success looks like. And D, to make sure they know how they and their work fit in the big picture puzzle that is this company. And if you fail at any one of those, then you need to go back and re-engineer your onboarding process. And if you've got people that you never did onboard properly, it's not too late. I don't care how long they've been there. Start it today. What can leaders do to positively impact energy? Number two, all acts of management and leadership must be congruent with the beginning, with the things that we just talked about. You're going to have to commit to remaining true to all of those onboarding messages. Now, remember, we manage the work, we lead the people. And while that example with Gail demonstrates the negative impact of a poor attitude, you know, it's difficult, if not impossible, to serve a person with a poor attitude. And it's made worse when the person is like Gail. They're doing pretty good work themselves. The boss put her on a performance improvement plan, not because of the quality of her work, but because of the negative impact that she was having on other people within the organization. In fact, two exit interviews with previous employees had revealed that Gail was a major factor in their leaving. And these were good employees. She constantly complained. She constantly griped about perceived injustices that had been done to her and were being done to her. The leadership had specific, distinct issues that needed to be addressed with her. This was not, the whole PIP thing was not an opinion-based meeting. I mean, that wouldn't have worked. The only way for management and leadership to be congruent with the beginning is to make sure that feedback is objective, quantifiable, and susceptible to specific recommendations for correction or improvement. So what can leaders do to positively impact energy? Number three, work is done by people. Always treat people with respect. Firm does not mean unkind or heavy-handed. Great leaders calculate the most appropriate response to good and poor performance. Now, the goal is to always improve. Growth, that's the objective. Come on, this is the Grow Great podcast. Keep the objectives in mind. It's never about you. It's not about you showing off your authority. It's not about you showing off how powerful you are and how smart you are. You have to make it about serving the employee to do better work. Number four, what can leaders do to positively impact energy? Listen, pay attention, don't jump to conclusions. Few things will more quickly improve your leadership than just shutting your mouth and opening your eyes and your ears. It's just true. Hey, watch any episode of Undercover Boss and you will quickly see it in action. I'm always fascinated at any episode of that. I don't see it much, but every once in a while I'll see it. And I'm just fascinated at the CEO or some other C-level officer who will go undercover. They're not doing any kind of high-tech surveillance. They're not doing any hardcore data crunching. They're out among the troops. They're working side by side, most often at the lowest levels in the organization. They're watching, they're listening, they're paying attention. There's no spreadsheets, there's no analysis, well, other than the human kind that involves listening, paying attention, and talking. Human connections. Human connections result in learning where the warts are. And sometimes these CEOs find out that these warts, they have been there for years and years and years. I mean, they were visible the whole time. The CEO is just too distracted, too focused on other things that didn't matter to notice the warts. And now she sees them. And so back to the C-suite she goes. making changes that frankly should have been made a long, long time ago. If only she had known, if only she had heard about them, if only she had seen them gather information, get it from the lowest level possible, keep your eyes open, and listen. Refrain from making judgments until you've got sufficient energy upon evidence, rather. I'm talking about energy. Make sure that you don't have some knee-jerk reaction, that you make your judgment after you've got sufficient evidence upon which to base a good, wise decision. Lastly, what can a leader do to elevate energy and manage energy better? Be reactive. Yeah, you heard it right. Be reactive. Everybody tells you how urgent it is for you to be proactive. Forget that. It's way more important for you to be reactive, faster. Don't waste your time trying to be proactive. Instead, get faster, way faster, about reacting to the market and to the performance of your people. What you need to do as the CEO is you need to adjust quicker than you ever have before. You've got to make speed your competitive edge. And I don't mean knee-jerk. I mean thoughtful but intentional. You can get fast and still be thoughtful and intentional. Hey, you do it at home. Well, okay, sometimes you do it at home. Your husband or your wife, they get upset and you react and you work through it. Well, or you don't. You stew about it. And stewing about it, how does that work out for you? It doesn't work. It doesn't work at home. It doesn't work at work. No, you need to act, and you need to act appropriately. You need to respond appropriately right now, today. Base it on the best evidence that you can get and start taking more shots than you've ever taken before. It doesn't mean that you don't take aim. You got to do that too. Take aim, but be reactive. Be faster. Now, I'm just positive. I'm fairly sure that there are other things that you can add to create your own list. I encouraged you at the beginning to do that. Figure it out. Embrace the people who make you look good. Serve them. Serve them well. And maybe you'll find some inspiration in my personal business philosophy. You can apply it to management and leadership. Always be honest. Always be competent. Always give more. Always make it right. Now, go to work right now. Get back to work. Put some high energy into your workplace. Hey, put some high energy into your own work as well. Because it's about managing the energy of the workplace. And you've just listened to episode 4018, and I'm glad you hung with me. Nearly 30 minutes you gave me of your time, and that's hugely important, and I appreciate it very, very much. I hope that you will visit the website, growgreat.com. That's what you can do for me. You can snoop around. There's all kinds of content. Everything is free. You can click on the tab about who I serve and how. There's a Vistage tab about the Vistage work that I do. You can subscribe to the podcast, connect with me on social media. There's all kinds of cool things that you can do. Just go visit the website, growgreat.com. My name is Randy Cantrell. Thank you again for listening. Coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Greetings from inside the Yellow Studio.